106.7 The Fan. Very excited to get to the BetQL guest line. Talk to one of the absolute best to do it in the business, Mr. Joe Beninati. Of course, you can watch Joe and Locker on all your Caps broadcasts on Monumental. Joe B., what's up, man?
Hey, JP, B. Mitch, we're doing well. We're doing well. It's about to snow in Salt Lake City.
Wow. I got to say, you're getting up early for us. I didn't even think about you being out west, so thank you for making time. How much fun are you having right now?
Guys, this is incredible. It's really good. I'm starting to get that feeling again. You know, they're sitting there at 12-4-1. They're performing extremely well, both at home and on the road. They're scoring goals at an incredible clip, JP. I mean, they're leading the league in 5-on-5 goals. They're leading the league in goals per game. So from a TV component, from a play-by-play perspective, I'm loving life.
I bet. Let's obviously, we're going to talk OV and the Chase and what he's doing. But I want to start with maybe somebody that isn't getting at least like the broader discussion, the credit he deserves in Spencer Carberry. Coach Carb's come in a not easy situation where they're trying to get younger and keep their veterans engaged and really been fantastic.
Without question. And I think as we approach the quarter mark of the season, if you took the ballot, you'd probably get him very close to, if not the coach of the year, with respect to Washington being 12-4-1, and deservedly so. Guys, he had a plan last year. He wanted to play a certain scheme, a certain tempo, and to face facts, he necessarily didn't have the horses to do it. So they made a course correction, and I thought he guided them beautifully into an eighth-place position, into a Stanley Cup playoff position a season ago, when a lot of people would have left them by the side of the road. This year, with the additions that were made in the offseason, Brian McClellan, Chris Patrick, the guys they brought in, all of a sudden now, that up-tempo scheme, that more aggressive, more ambitious system has worked out extremely well. And you have to give it to Spencer Carberry and all the coaching staff, top to bottom. I think they're tip-top. And from what I see and from what I listen to, when we go to different cities around the league, everybody's talking about Spencer. So this young head coach is starting to get the acclaim that he deserves, and he truly does deserve it because his interaction with the team, you can see it, we can see it day-to-day, has been very good.
What is he doing to Ovi? Because it seemed like he's turned back the clock.
B. Mitch, what in the world is going on? You don't do this at 39. You just don't. The guy's tied for the league lead in goals at age 39. Every day, Locker and I, Al Koch and all of us on the trip here, what are we witnessing? Because you can't necessarily put it by comparison. Like Wayne Gretzky retires in 99 at age 38. In his last two or three seasons, his goal totals were as low to mid-20s. His assists were definitely up there with the Rangers late in his career. But this guy's on a crazy 60-plus goal pace. Yeah. And I know it's not going to continue, but just enjoy the ride while you're watching it. And you have to realize, I just hope that fans don't get jaded to this. Uh-huh. Yeah, you see him do it every year. He's done it for 20 seasons. Please don't be jaded by it. This is not your everyday. This is not a flash-in-the-pan kind of player. This is a once-in-a-generation player who's attempting to break one of the greatest records in NHL history, and he's doing so right now at a clip where he feels like he might get it by Christmas.
Hey, you know, when we were talking about this coming into this season, you start talking about how much pressure can get on a player. Ovi doesn't seem to be playing with any pressure. What are you seeing when he gets out there?
B. Mitch, it's love of the game. It's mm-hmm. just joy for him. And, you know, he's played so many games in so many situations and racked up so many goals and records along the way. And yet he still, when he touches the ice tonight in Utah, I fully expect him to be playing the game with the joy and the zeal of a young man. It's just where it's his happy place. Mm-hmm. And when he's in a good place and when he's healthy and feeling good, he's been blessed with incredible talents. I mean, that shot is never going to go away, B. Mitch and JP. It's just not. I think I've compared this before. You're going to watch Steph Curry shoot threes. It mm-hmm. takes your breath away. You don't understand how good it is. Right. That's how good Alex Ovechkin's shot is on the ice. Quarterback with arm strength. It's like watching John Elway throw a football. It's never going to go away for Alex. The question for him is stay healthy, avoid the nicks, the bumps, the bruises that will add up and slow down somebody who's 39 approaching 40. Yeah, okay. If you can keep away from that, his natural skill set and his joy and love for the game, this is what he loves to do. He lives to celebrate goals, not only his goals, but his mates.
That's so, I mean, to have this thing with Ovi, and I think there was some real thought that, like, all right, Ovi's just going to kind of grind this thing out, 3 20-goal seasons, and then kind of ride off into the sunset. Like, that is not how this is going. And the Caps are playing fantastic as a team. It's been so much fun to watch. Him getting the hat trick last night. What was it like calling a hat trick for Ovi in Vegas where they won the cup at this stage of his career?
Yeah, really interesting, JP, because the team had never won a regular season game in Vegas.
Really?
They won 2 Stanley Cup final games, which were very, very important. But they were 0-6 in the regular season inside of T-Mobile before yesterday. And honestly, the games weren't close. I want to say in the 6 games, the Caps may have scored a total of 11 goals in those regular season losses. But this was, I thought, another great sign, just what the way this team is performing. They were great Friday in Denver, shutting down the Avalanche in the third period. They showed signs of cracking yesterday when they had the 4-2 lead after 2. I want to say Logan Thompson made 25 saves alone just in the third period, which was fantastic. But for Alex to close the game out with the empty netter, just to see the fan reaction, it was pretty cool to watch all the Vegas fans leave en masse as soon as the puck at the back of the net. You had 18,000 people exiting very, very quickly. Alex just has an ability in big games to produce at very, very high levels. You look at his career playoff numbers, I mean, they're pretty extraordinary. And whenever we enter T-Mobile in Las Vegas, you can't help but think back to the spring of 2018. Sure. He scored 3 times in that cup final. He had some magnificent goals that were beautifully set up by Nicklas Backstrom. But from a regular season standpoint, the team had zero success there, and they looked really good. I thought they were very solid through the first 2 periods. They were badly outplayed in the third, but they had the wherewithal. This group has the wherewithal to get it across the finish line.
Talking with Caps play-by-play voice Joe Beninati. You can follow him on X at JoeBPXP. Joe B, I also got to wish you a happy birthday, man. I guess it was last week, right? Happy birthday, dude.
It was on the 14th. Yeah, 39 again.
Yeah, yeah.
You and Ovi.
Good
congrats.
Age, brother. Good age. But, Joe, how good has Logan been in the net, though?
Yeah, dude, the goaltending's been outrageous.
Yeah, so when we were talking about this before the season, I think we anticipated both Logan Thompson and Charlie Lindgren to push each other. They're both in the final year of a contract. They're obviously both playing for their futures. And Charlie's 30, Logan's 27. And you would think, and again, I'm not in management, but you would think at the end of this season, you'll pick one of them to sign and then perhaps bring a goaltender in from the American Hockey League's Hershey Bears, who you have designs on being your future number one. But these two guys right now are 1A, 1B. Spencer Carberry, the head coach, Scott Murray, the goalie coach, they've had no reason not to alternate them. It's literally you, me, you. They've only adjusted the rotation once, and they did it to make sure that Logan got the game in Vegas yesterday against his former teammates, who he beat a month ago in D.C. And I could tell you, when Thompson showed up at the rink yesterday, guys, holy smokes, intensity on his face. He'll tell you he has a very good relationship with the Golden Knights and with GM McCrimmon there. But obviously, when you're heading back home in front of family and friends who he still has in the area, he was geared up for that game. He was fabulous, and he's been terrific. He hasn't lost in regulation. Yes. The only loss he has is Toronto in overtime, and that game slipped away from everybody last week. I think both he and Charlie have been very good. What they've done best, guys, they haven't been overworked. The Caps have been playing well defensively. The Caps have had the puck a lot of the time, which means you're not stressing your goalies out a lot. But what they've done, both Charlie and Logan, they've made the key save at the big moment, especially late in the game, that helps you protect the lead.
For sure. Talking with Joe B. Joe Beninati from Monumental Sports. You can check out. You guys got a game tonight. You're in Salt Lake City. It's snowing. Caps versus, what is it, the Utah Hockey Club? What are they called?
Yeah, they don't have a nickname yet, JP. They're working on it.
I'm familiar with that world. Capitals taking on the Utah Hockey Club tonight at 9. I'll have it on. Joby, another dude that I think deserves some credit, and I don't want to make a Backstrom comparison because I realize that's like a bridge too far, but the way Dylan Strome is playing right now for this team, I think he leads them in plus-minus, leads them in points, a ton of assists. What do you think of Stromer right now?
Hallelujah, JP. Thank you for mentioning it, because he's the one who often gets lost in the shadow of Ovechkin scoring like this. And Dylan's been fantastic. I think he's been the Caps' best forward in the first 7 weeks of the season. I don't think there's much of a question about that. His playmaking ability is extraordinary. He's been assisting on just about every goal from the grade eight. He's helping the power play produce. All of a sudden, the power play is clicking now, guys. I want to say they're 4 for their last 6, and they were dreadful in the first month of the season and still scoring all these goals. They've been specializing 5-on-5, but now you see Dylan heating up on the power play. I just think he's an underrated performer. Now, you're going to sit there and go, well, Strome is your number one because of the Protas-Ovechkin combination. Pierre-Luc Dubois brought in the offseason. That solidifies that two spot. Lars Eller now comes in as the three center. The Caps are looking more and more formidable down the middle, not only with playmakers and gunners, but strength and size. That's the other thing people say when the Caps walk in the building. Wow, this is a hard team to play against. They're big and strong. They're heavy. It reminds me a lot, and I'm not going to get ahead of myself. I'm not going to 2018, but it reminds me a lot of what people said about those squads in 16, 17, 18. Heavy, hard to play against, big, huge men. Alexei Protas, Dylan Strome, Alex Ovechkin, that line. Guys, I called them yesterday the Washington O-line in reference to the Commanders. You don't win on Sundays without your O-line, Pro, Stro, and O. Those guys were fantastic yesterday, and Dylan's the guy who's leading it. He's got the puck on a string right now, and from a vision standpoint, I think even Nicklas Backstrom, who I wish was playing and was finishing his career on his own terms, even Backstrom would sit there and go, you know what? That guy can pass the puck.
It's early in the season, and like you said, they're doing very well. Do you catch yourself like looking forward to say what the possibilities could be?
Yeah, you're starting to do that, B. Mitch. I think this is a very telling stretch ahead. The Caps, I want to say, played 10 of their first 15 at home, and now the guys are in a spell where they're playing 14 of 21 on the road.
Whew.
So a lot of time out of a suitcase. They've been good on the road. All of a sudden, you know, they won 5 of their last 7 on the road. They've been incredible against the Western Conference. They're the only team in the East that hasn't lost to the West.
Wow.
And that'll be challenged tonight. Utah was off yesterday. Utah is a pesky team that's given them problems before when they were wearing Arizona Coyotes colors. But this stretch here between now and Christmas, I think we'll learn a lot. And when you peek at the Metro Division, when you peek at the Eastern Conference in general, incredibly competitive, and I think we knew that from the get-go. But most of the people who were looking at Washington before the season, they weren't, I don't think, giving enough credit to the quality of the lineup, which to me was better than the team that made the playoffs last year. Most of the prognosticators, most of the handicappers, no, Washington's going to fall out of the playoffs this year. Doesn't look like it.
Nope.
One quarter of the way through the season, a lot of the times people use U.S. Thanksgiving as a reference point. Well, we're almost there, and Washington's in good shape. Keep your fingers crossed. If this continues, it's going to be fun.
It's been fun already.
Tons of fun.
I completely forgot Utah used to be Arizona, and I remember, was that like last, I want to say it was Valentine's Day, where a terrible Coyotes team came to town and put up a touchdown? Do I recall that correctly?
They've given the Caps problems in the past. I don't think they're referred to or linked with the Coyotes in any sort of way, and yet they still tell me I can't call them an expansion team. So I'm going to figure that out this afternoon. As far as what they've done, I remember a particular game last season in Tempe. I think they put 6 on the Caps in a 6-0 loss.
Yeah.
It was uncomfortable, to say the least.
Right. Joe B., if anybody will figure out the right way to say something, it is you, sir. You are quite the wordsmith. And we'll be watching tonight. Thank you for making time for us.
Hi, Joe.
From Salt Lake. How beautiful is that city, by the way?
fantastic. I've done a lot of football here, JP, whether it be BYU in Provo or Utah here in Salt Lake City. It's gorgeous with the mountains. It really is.
Yeah, it's a pretty place. Thank you, Joe. Really appreciate you making time for us, man.
My pleasure, guys. See you tonight.
That's our friend Joe Beninati. Follow him at JoeBPXP. This early season run, I don't know what's going to happen with this Caps team. It's been fun as hell just to have the games on because Ovi's popping. The offense is going.
Oh, yeah.
It's fast-paced, whereas it got kind of slow and, like, tired the last couple of years. It looks like they are all the way back. Another person all the way back, John Leahy. If you are looking to buy or sell a home, or, dude, it doesn't even have to be that serious. What if you just want to have a conversation to figure out what maybe your next move is, how much money you need to save? Just give John a call.
Well, anytime you want to move, you want to do anything, sell a house, you call John, just like Brandy and Dave did. They were relocating for a job opportunity and needed to sell their current place in Germantown in order to be able to purchase what would eventually become their next home. John Leahy and the Fine Living Group were more than up to the task. John and his team had the couple's home sold in just 4 days, and they got $10,100 over the asking price. Brandy and Dave were worried about moving twice, but with the Fine Living Group's VIP sellers program, John and his team managed to get multiple offers sold quickly and help Dave and Brandy move straight into their new property without any extra moves. If you're looking to sell, don't delay. Contact John Leahy right now and start by finding out your home's worth in only 30 seconds at johnsellsdmv.com. We're talking about John Leahy and the Fine Living Group. John offers you flexible fees, customized to your needs, and he knows that life happens. And if needed, he will let you out of your contract at any time.
If you listen to me and B, you know that we both like the data, we like the analytics, but we also like the eye test. Leahy can give you the best of both worlds. He's got this home value estimator tool on his website. If you just go to johnsellsdmv.com, you click on the home valuation tool, that is a real number. That is a hard estimate based on market trends and interest rates. That'll give you a ballpark of decisions you want to make. You might be sitting on a gold mine and be able to make some real moves with John's help. That's why I would call him today. John is the DMV MVP of real estate. 301-900-3052. Go online to johnsellsdmv.com, or what's even easier, just Google John Leahy Group and start packing. Jeff out here making fun of my neighborhood, my home where I raised my children, Jeff.
I'm sorry, bro. They just passed out some old candy, dude. That's it. Like, so, people even making fun of me in my DM right now.
That's what they said on the thing the other day when I was eating Sugar Daddy.
Yeah, they called out B for...
I'm like, you know you're old when you eat the Sugar Daddy.
I do wonder, the Sugar Daddy baby family of candy, whatever. I know they make Sugar Daddy Sugar Babies.
They still work.
If there's anything else in that family of candy, I almost wonder if that... Because, like, that candy bar doesn't exist. Like, you don't see it at a gas station or 7-Eleven at all. I would venture that some dental organization, whoever's in charge of making money for dentists, is secretly funding the Sugar Daddy candy factory. Because those joints will jack your teeth up immediately.
They all got the same amount of sugar in it.
You just don't see this candy at all, usually.
Like Milk Duds?
That's an old person candy, too. Like, one dude,
I feel like there's Milk Duds at the movie theater in those big-ass boxes, though.
Yeah, and I think only old people get them. Like, I never see a youthful person with
I like Junior Mints in the big
That's
box.
That's not true. I see a lot of young people eating that type of candy.
Like, for instance, I put an Almond Joy on my story today, and somebody said, B-Mitch must have gave you that. That's for people 53 and over.
Well, you know what? I didn't give it to him. JP gave it to him, so...
I know. I brought in pucker a big
up,
ass bag.
Pucker up and place your lips on my bottom.
Wow.
Yikes.
That was so hard to predict. B would have an over-the-top response. Almond Joy's gross. I did not provide that.
I don't think it's gross. I think it's caramel.
I like, what is it? Almond Joy's got nuts. Mounds don't. I prefer mounds.
Yeah.
Landfill, what do you got? Like Twizzler?
I'm an Almond
Jeff
Joy.
Jeff like Almond Joy.
I'm an Almond Joy guy over Mounds.
Almond Joy's got nuts, Jeff.
Mounds don't.
Is that why you like it?
Okay,
nuts?
And on the football.
No, Jeff, it's almonds. It's got almonds in it. Is that why you like it?
It just tastes better.
The nuts.
Yo, get out of here. Get out of here. I'm not playing with you.
Brian,
Y'all hilarious.
There was a time you played in this and you felt it and knew how significant it was.
Yes.
How significant is Dallas Week? It's Dallas Week, even though they play tonight.
I think now that you have different aspirations, it's very significant. Because there were years that we've watched this thing where we weren't going anywhere. We have chances this year. So whether or not the fan base view it like they used to or not, the players in the locker room better start viewing it right. You win this game, you're at 8-4. Okay? You're setting yourself up for opportunity to be going to the playoffs. And this is like you play great in the first half of the season, but you got to close out strong. So it is significant, I think, now because there are different goals that are waiting on the other side.
Yeah, there's something attached to it, right?
Yes, yes.
And everybody that listens to our program or watches the stream or whatever, the odds are you are locked in enough that you're going to watch this Monday night game
to see what happens.
See what Dallas has got, right?
Yep.
Game starts at 8:15. Probably a 2-TV night, caps are on at 9. We all know it's Cooper Rush. Dak's done for the year. It sure feels like Dallas is in Splinterville.
Yeah.
Like, just the heat's too much. Jerry's fighting with people about the location of the moon. Like, I just don't know how you hold that together. Mike McCarthy's a lame duck kind of going into the year.
Yeah, he was.
And
but you know what, though? Seeing all that stuff going on, and if you buy into it, it's the quickest way to get your ass kicked.
Yeah, man.
So they need to not worry about what the hell's going on in Dallas. They need to worry about what's happening over there in Ashburn.
Straight
and make
rat
sure
poison.
The whatever mojo we had prior to the last 2 weeks, let's get that back.
Yeah.
This is going to be a time where from last game till the next one, 10 days, and I know Dan takes care of them. Make sure that they're going to be able to, people that needed to work, needed the time off, got their time off. Get back healthy, and you got 3 games in 30 days. Handle business.
3 games in 30 days.
Handle business.
There's also, like, when they got to 7-2, there were a lot of talk about that was their best record since the 96 season.
Mm-hmm.
And what wasn't really mentioned back then was that season finished at 9-7. They fell apart in the back half. And nobody's expecting that. But you got to go win this one just to remind everybody we're good.
Yeah.
You'd like to see your offense get back to the high level of efficiency and functionality it previously had.
Yep.
You'd like to get your run game back going. I think you'd like to get Jaden going on the ground again. And B, I wonder.
But see, just think about what you're saying right now. We went through a period of don't run. He needs to run.
I think the offense is better.
Yes.
We talked about this. I think this break is going to be really good for Jaden. I think it's going to be really good for that offensive line. And I think those two groups, the quarterback and then the O-line, one, have to work in sync together so much.
Mm-hmm.
But two, I think Jaden was pretty beat up, man. And he's not going to admit it. DQ doesn't want to admit it. But the rib stuff doesn't go away. You just need rest. This is going to be the first batch of rest he actually gets, and then 3 games over 30 days. The next two teams you got combined record of 5-13. This is a chop wood situation.
Hell yeah.
Jeff, as the youngest amongst us, how big of a deal is the Cowboys rivalry for you?
I hate the Cowboys with a passion.
Okay.
I've always hated them. I will always hate them. It don't matter if we are ever 15-0 and the Cowboys are 0-15. Those two games, we have to win. Yo, we could go to the Super Bowl that year. Those two games in Dallas, we have to win. Because the thing is, it's their fans. I thought other fans were annoying. Dallas fans are the most annoying fans, and when we beat them, I love it because it just shuts them up.
I do have to tell you the truth about something, though. The year was 1991. The Redskins were 11-0. Their first loss came to the Cowboys, and they won the Super Bowl. I didn't lose a drip of sleep over losing the Cowboys. Like, you want to win them all. You will always want to beat their ass. But just to your point about, man, if they win the Super Bowl, I still care more about the Cowboys. You don't.
It's different for you, JP, because you were actually watching good Commanders teams. We've watched
the same amount of Commanders teams.
My bad. Washington teams. Let's stay for real, JP. But, dude, I got trolled my entire life from Cowboys fans, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Eagles fans, they're just as bad, but they're, you know, they're a little more chill. Giants fans, but
Eagles fans are more chill?
The ones I know.
I think there's a higher volume of Cowboys fans.
Yeah.
There's more of them, but
yeah,
Eagles fans are not chill.
But I can remember.
I'm talking about to Washington fans. Like, we used to have that thing over Philly. We'd be like, oh.
No Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it kept them at bay.
I'm old enough that when I was in college and the whole world was from New York and New Jersey, the Skins had more Super Bowls than the Giants. That's how old I am.
I got here in 1990, and I would hear people tell me, I don't care what y'all do, but y'all can lose all the game, but you got to beat Dallas twice. My exact word was, you got to be stupid. I don't want to go 2-14. I'd rather go 14-2. And yes, I want to beat them, but I don't understand that mindset of like, we got to beat them. We can do anything else. No. We want to beat them. We want to win the rest of them too.
But see, y'all got to understand, when we talking about it, it's like from a fan perspective. Like, you know, we can't get out there and actually play the game. Of course we like the
I know you
picture.
Can't get out and play it, but I'm saying.
Of course we
don't
know
even
it's a
say
bigger.
Nothing like that to a player. Like, that sounds
but
weird.
B, that's fine because y'all are actually playing the game. Like, when y'all go play each other and y'all compete, it's a different world for a fan. When we're challenging against other fans, it's what our team did to y'all's. Like, for instance,
that's what I'm saying, Jeff. I'm talking about when people were telling me.
Oh, okay. Okay, I thought you were saying
No. They were, oh, man, we don't care what y'all do, as long as y'all beat Dallas twice. I'm like, look, bro.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to beat them
stupid.
Twice and try to beat every damn body else, too. But I don't buy the notion of, oh, you hate that. I hate all of them.
Yeah.
You know, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, we definitely hate Dallas, though. Bleep Dallas right now. We starting the week off early.
Yeah,
bleep them on a Monday. One thing that's happening right now is you wake up in the morning, it's cold. You go to bed, it's cold, but then it's warm during the day. You need to call my friends over at Crop Metcalf. Make sure your heating and cooling is ready to rock. My back porch has its own, what do you call that, a split vac unit or something? It's got its own small HVAC unit.
HVAC, yeah.
Split zone, maybe. And we had the heat on for the first time Saturday night because it was cold and that thing was perfect. You got to make sure all that stuff's ready to operate, though, because the cold weather is coming. Last thing you need is to be getting ready for Christmas or something, and then your heater goes out. It's only $99, and an expert, Crop Metcalf, 5-star tech, will check both your home's heating and cooling system for one low price. Do what I did. Call today for peace of mind, no matter what tomorrow's weather brings. I just had Crop at the house last week doing some plumbing for me. They got my daughter's sinks all figured out. Call 1-800-GO-CROP or visit CropMetcalf.com. And remember, you want a landfill? Crop Metcalf is the one with 5 stars. Speaking of no control of their body, Jeff's here. Jeff's on some serious sex aerobics right now, and I don't really. Who do you think has the worst view of Jeff's sex aerobics? Landfill's the closest, but I have the most direct view through the glass.
Stop staring. Just look somewhere else.
It's hard.
No.
He's wearing a giant red sweatshirt, humping, thrusting the air. There's a new hit. Jeff, man,
hey,
you're too young for that stuff, dog. You got to lay off the weed, hey, man.
I opened up my text thread and it said something about Jeff is talking about his ED issues.
Yo, if Lou is looking for something to blog for the website, bang, there it is. Landfill.
Oh, boy.
How much does Dallas Week mean to you?
I mean, I need them to win. Like, the Cowboys have been better than the Commanders and the Redskins like my entire life. I think this is finally an opportunity for us to at least not humiliate ourselves over like an extended period of time. I hope this is the start of us kicking their ass occasionally. So, yeah, I mean, it's a big deal.
Yeah, I'm with that. It's a big number, Brian. And I think, personally, I think it's a little crazy to set a number when the team has a game going tonight.
A big number for us over them or them over us?
Just the spread, it opened at 9, 9.5, which is a lot. But
I really think when people make spreads that high, they're crazy, especially if you're a division matchup.
I thought that about Jacksonville. It was like 13.5 in an NFL game is just simply too many, and they lost by 50.
To
Detroit.
They're not in the same division.
I know. I was just messing around.
Jacksonville sucks.
Unfortunately, I'm telling the truth, but I am joking. I recognize the difference in your example.
Yeah.
This is a big one, and I almost feel like it's important to not only for Washington to win this week, but to kind of just get rolling again, to get their offense back to a highly functional spot.
Yeah.
Because it hasn't been for a while. I ran through all the numbers last week about third down conversions and how alarming I think that was starting to look. It got way worse in Philly. And the Eagles' defense deserves a lot of credit. They were very good. Washington was 3 of 12 on third down. You're not going to win many games.
Nah.
3 of 12 on third down. They lost time of possession. They lost the turnover battle. I mean, their YPC was probably sub 3.5. I can pull it up, but like there are a number of statistics that you could call causation, correlation, whatever the hell you want. But there's a bunch of stats that generally look one way in wins, and Washington's didn't. Yeah. They kept that thing close to the end. It was a 2-point game with 7 minutes left.
Yeah.
But yeesh.
Yeah, it's been bad. But you know,
3.3 YPC in that game, baby.
A lot of things happen in the game. And I think there are things in football where if your O-line's banged up and they're not blocking like they normally do, you're going to see a lot of stuff fall off of that. And I think that happened. But in this day and age, we look at everything else but that. That is the reason. And I think ultimately those guys had some time off. They get healthy and they get back to what they were. Like Ross Tucker said, when you look at that line, you would not have expected what was going on. But they had a chemistry going and then the injuries came in. If the injuries are out, they're back to what they were. And you will see all that stuff lift again.
I think Brian Robinson gets a long rest here. Mm-hmm. Washington's offense it's interesting because if you remember how gaudy the statistics were looking, it's still up there, but it is dipping a little bit. Yardage is now 6th in the NFL, points scored 4th in the NFL. Significant. But they had the best rushing numbers in the league for a while. That's starting to dip a little bit. 4th in attempts, 6th in yards, 7th in yards per catch. I can't ignore this, though. Rushing defense has been a significant problem over and over and over and over and over. They are 30th in the NFL in rush yards allowed. And if you think about the game with the Ravens and Derrick Henry and then the game with the Eagles and Saquon Barkley, they largely bottled those guys up through three quarters.
Mm-hmm.
And then the levee broke. And Saquon finished with almost 170 total yards, I think, and the two touchdowns.
Yep.
Hell, Saquon finished with 197. Two catches for 52 yards, as well as 26 carries for 146 and two tutties.
Mm.
I thought defensively they played well in Philly, but eventually you can't have those big breakdowns. Washington, you could try to convince yourself how well they played in Philly, but the numbers at the end of the game are what they are.
Yeah, the numbers are what they are, but if they have complimentary football going on,
agreed,
that doesn't happen. They were playing above and beyond what they overall are capable of, and they weren't getting no help. and then all of a sudden, they got tired. And once you get tired on the football field, you got problems.
And, dude, as much as I think Marshon Lattimore is really going to help this team, they weren't killed in the pass game. It wasn't a typical A.J. Brown making dudes cry. He's got a 130 and 2 touchdowns. Mm. A.J. Brown was their leading receiver at 5 for 65. You take that all day with that guy. Devontae Smith had 4 catches for 29 yards. This was not the corners and the secondary letting them down. The best way to help that D-line and those linebackers is to get back on the right side of the time of possession.
Score touchdowns.
Touchdowns help, too.
They have long sustained drives. Good things happen.
Now, Dallas, the last two defensive opponents in the Steelers and the Eagles are really, really good. Dallas is not there. Right now, Dallas is second to last in the league in points allowed, 27th in yards allowed.
Their pass rush good.
That's about
But their defense, I mean, their run defense isn't great.
They are 31st in yards allowed, 31st in attempts, 31st in rushing touchdowns surrendered. And the only one positive you could kind of point to is that the Cowboys' defense is first in allowing the fewest pass attempts. Mm-hmm. You know what that means?
I mean, teams just run it on them.
They just run it on them. Dallas' offense is equally bad. They can't run the ball at all. 30th in attempts, 31st in yards gained. This, at least on paper, really should be a good matchup for Washington.
Should be.
Division games are not played on paper, brother. Right.
Division games. Gotta play the game.
Helping us break it all down, our friend John Keim, Commanders Insider for ESPN, joins us next.